I do want to say just a couple words about this morning's service, and especially for those of you who may be visiting with us this morning that may not know that we had a difficult loss in the life of our church family this week. Last Sunday morning, Bojena Foley passed away. We've been walking with her and walking with that family for 3 months since she was born and taken to Akron Children's. And I think sometimes as a church, we're too quick to jump past those types of things when we are grieving, when we are upset, when we are disappointed. And the only way I had words to kind of describe how I felt for our church family was that I kind of felt like we got kicked in the stomach last week and just felt it appropriate and necessary for us to take a day this morning as a service of lament. Some of you are familiar with the lament process, have heard me teach on it. Some of you may have joined us at our Good Friday service this past spring, which was a service of lament. But for those who aren't familiar, I just want to say a couple words about the service. I will walk you through a process of lament based on the Psalms. And it's a fourfold process. And each of those sections of that process are in bold in your bulletin. There will also be opportunities for you to respond with your own processing of this lament. And so on the back of your bulletin, you'll find some space. And I encourage you to find a pen or a pencil. And when you have time to reflect and to do that, to engage that process. There's something that happens when we not only think about our grief, but when we also write or process in some way. For some of us, it may be more fitting to leave here and to go stand out in the middle of the woods and scream, whatever it is. But here in this place this morning, we just want to open ourselves to cry out to God, really. And obviously, our grief is with the Foley family. And yet another thing that happens in times like this is that it taps into all the other times in our lives where we've experienced grief, when we've experienced disappointment, when we've experienced loss. And so as those things come to our hearts this morning, I just invite you and encourage you to take those things to the Lord. And so this will be a little bit different service than our typical Sunday morning worship service. But I invite you in joining with me in coming before the Lord with an open heart and an open mind. This morning I want to invite you to remember your baptism. And to remember in our baptism that through the Holy Spirit we are united with the triune God. Through the power of the Holy Spirit in our baptisms, we are united as one family, one community, under one faith. And so may the Holy Spirit descend upon us, well up from within us. Help us to be aware of the Lord's presence among us this morning as God gathers us. All who thirst, come to the water. Come, all who are weary. Come, all who yearn for forgiveness. The Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, has washed over us. Drink deeply of these waters. Glory to you, O Lord. Glory to you. I invite you to bow your heads in prayer with me. Lord, open to us the sea of your mercy and water us with full streams from the riches of your grace and the springs of your kindness. Make us children of quietness and heirs of peace. Kindle in us the fire of your love and strengthen our weakness by your power as we become close to you and to each other. Lord, we confess to you any sin that has occurred in our lives, any poor decisions we may have made that were not pleasing to you, or any ways that we failed to act in a way that was faithful to the life you have called us. Lord, we bring these things to you and confess them, confident in your promise that in Jesus Christ we are forgiven and clothed in his righteousness. And for that, Lord, we are eternally grateful. And now we ask, Holy Spirit, that you awaken us to your presence in and among us. Open our hearts and minds to the scriptures we will read and the message we will hear. Open our hearts to the emotions we will feel, for these are gifts that help us connect to you. And use them as a way to draw us deeper into the presence of our loving Father. We cry out to you, Lord. Hear our prayers. Amen. The scripture that we'll be using to guide our lament this morning is taken from John chapter 11. But instead of reading that entire text, I'll just be reading small excerpts. And the hope this morning is that we can look at that text primarily through the perspective of Mary and Martha. And what happens a lot of times in scripture is when we read the entire text is we're getting multiple perspectives on the story. But my hope this morning is that we can engage this story and this interaction with Christ through the perspective of Mary and Martha. And so I'll only be reading verses to help us do that. And so I invite you to hear the words of scripture. First, from John chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. What strikes me about these verses is that Mary and Martha do what they're supposed to do. Do what we are asked to do. And as the verses mention, this is the Mary who anointed Jesus' feet with perfume, wiped his feet with her hair, one of the most incredible acts of worship recorded in the scriptures, had poured herself out to Christ, honoring him for who she knew he was, the Lord and the long-awaited Messiah. She clearly loved Jesus, as did her sister and brother. And you can tell that they have a personal relationship with Christ, and they understand that Jesus loved them as well. And so in a moment of need, they did what we would expect them to do. They did what we are expected to do. They asked Jesus to come. The first movement in a lament is our address. And what's important in a lament as Christians is that we are lamenting to God. We are addressing the Lord. We are directing our cry to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so as we begin and enter into a process of lament this morning, I invite you to stand. And as Mary and Martha did, we're going to sing hymn number 2, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, and we're going to ask Jesus to come. From the perspective of Mary and Martha, in the midst of their need, in the midst of their ill brother, they cry out to the Lord. They call upon Jesus. They send message and they ask him to come. And they get silence in return. Christ doesn't come. At least doesn't come in time. And in the midst of their waiting, their brother Lazarus dies. And as we come to the second part of a lament, which is our complaint before the Lord, we come only guessing or perhaps knowing from our own circumstances what was on their mind, what feelings were arising in them, what emotions they were carrying when Christ does come. In verse 21, we hear Martha's response. In verse 32, we hear Mary's response, both very similar. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And did they say those words in an act of faith? Yes, I do believe that they had faith that had Christ been there, he could have interceded. He would have healed. Yet in the midst of their faith, I believe that those words were spoken to Jesus in anger, that he hadn't come, in confusion as to why the Lord whom they loved and who loved them had chosen not to deliver, confusion over the messages that they were hearing from Christ about resurrection and life, even in the midst of the death of their brother. And if I were to put into words the question that they were asking of Jesus from the cry of their heart, I believe what they were really saying was, "Jesus, where were you? We were in need. We were desperate. We cried out of love and worship to you. Where were you? We needed you. We sent for you. We love you, and you say you love us. Yet where were you when we needed you most? Our brother died, and you could have stopped it." I've been in a little bit of conflict as to whether or not I wanted to share some of my personal laments this week, because I don't want this to be about me, but I do want to help invite you into the types of things that we can bring to the Lord. And when I first heard word that Bojana or Bonnie was being taken to Akron Children's right after her birth, I was in Columbus at a seminar on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it was a 4-day seminar, and I could only be there for a couple days. But on this particular day, they were talking a lot about healing. And it wouldn't surprise a lot of you to know, coming out of the background that most of us come from, that over the last few years, the Lord's just been working in me an openness to the work in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, an openness to how the Holy Spirit may want to work in us and among us, and an openness to some of the gifts of the Spirit and some of the workings of the Spirit that maybe a lot of us have been somewhat closed off to. And so I'm down here and I'm hearing these stories about some pretty dramatic healings, because you know, when you go to those seminars, they don't tell you about the little things the Holy Spirit does. They tell you about the amazing things the Holy Spirit does. And so I'm hearing this and I'm, you know, God's increasing my faith and my belief. And I even said to one of the folks there, one of the families in our congregation had a baby, and they're rushing her to Akron Children's, and she's not well, and we need to pray if the Lord's calling me to go and lay hands on this baby and bring healing into her heart. And I believe Jesus can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it was in that context and in the Lord working those things in my life that we first went to Akron Children's, and we baptized Bonnie, and many of you gathered here, and that was one of the proudest moments I've had as pastor of this congregation, to see so many folks here gathered looking at a video of us in this unit baptizing this infant child and putting our hands upon her and praying for healing over that child. And then I'm driving home in the middle of the storm. I could barely see the highway, but I couldn't keep from looking at my phone because everybody's sending me texts of these rainbows that were in the sky as folks were leaving the sanctuary. And I thought, God, you're really going to do this. And I thought, what better way than for you to be glorified than to step in here now and work in this way. And throughout the last 3 months, as the ebbs and flows of her life and her struggle have gone up and then down, the cry of my heart has increasingly been, Jesus, where are you? Some of us in this room can relate very personally to their hurt and loss because some of us in this room have experienced the loss of a child. I can't imagine that pain. Can't imagine it. Some of us haven't experienced that, and we can only begin to try to imagine. But all of us have experienced grief. And these types of things, when they happen in our world, they begin to tap into that grief. They begin to tap into those areas where we've been angry at God. We've been disappointed by God. We've been confused. We've been upset. We've struggled with why God hasn't shown up in the way that we prayed for God to show up. In the midst of struggling relationships, we cry out, Jesus, where are you? In the midst of illnesses, we cry out, Jesus, where are you? In a loss of work, in the midst of depression, in the midst of difficult transitions, in new changes and stages of life, we cry out, Jesus, where are you? When we feel alone and we feel afraid and we're not sure if we can step another day. The list can go on. Scripture gives us these laments, gives us these examples, multiple examples in the Psalms, an entire book called Lamentations. Jesus gives us some examples of his laments as he cries over the city of Jerusalem as an example. And I believe that in these laments, Scripture and the Lord himself is giving us permission to cry out to God in honesty, to come to the Lord with our feelings, with our disappointments, with our struggles, with our complaints. And this morning, I just want to give us an opportunity to wrestle with whatever God's tapping into in our hearts right now. Over the next 4 or 5 minutes, Alan's just going to play some music in the background. I encourage you, whether you're a writer or a journaler or not, to consider writing out some things that are on your heart right now on the back of the bulletin. And just take a few minutes in the midst of our sorrow and grief to complain to the Lord about those times where the Lord hasn't seemed present in our lives. The third portion of lament is our request. When we pour out our request to the Lord, hear these words from John 11, verses 33 through 37. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Still wrestling with the reality of that situation. I'm not sure what request you have of the Lord this morning based on the things that God is laying upon your heart. But I love this simple request taken from these verses. Lord, come and see. And so that's my request of the Lord on behalf of this community this morning. Lord, come and see. Whatever you're lamenting right now, whatever that situation is, whatever that experience was, Lord, come and see. See the pain, see the anger, see the doubt. Come see the grief and the fear and the anxiety. Come and see what this has cost me, what this has cost my family, what this has cost my community and friends. Come and see the darkness. Lord Jesus, come and see. I invite you into a few more minutes of reflection where you pour out your prayers and your requests to the Lord. I love the response in that passage. Lord, come and see. And Jesus began to weep. Met them in that place and began to weep. I invite you to bow your heads and join me in prayer. Merciful God, you strengthen us by your power and wisdom. This morning, we especially ask that you be gracious to Tom and Tina, to their family and friends, and to the community in our grief. We ask that you surround them and all of us with your unfailing love. We pray that in those times when they feel overwhelmed, that you will grant them a sense of your loving presence and surround them with a community that models your love, comforts them in their grief, and encourages them in each step forward. And Lord, for each of the areas and ways that our own disappointments, that our own grief have arisen with us this morning, we ask that you grant us the courage to express those disappointments to you, and if necessary, to others. May we be a people that respond to your invitation to come as we are, out of the honesty of our hearts, so that we may find rest as we rest in you. Lord, as we open our hands and give to you and let go to you the cares and concerns of our hearts, may we receive from you in return the peace that surpasses all understanding. And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we move into the fourth part of a lament, expressing our trust, I invite you to hear these words from John chapter 11. Read verses 38 through 44. Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it, and Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." I'll be honest with you, this is the hardest part of this passage for me. In fact, so many of the gospel stories that we have about Jesus are difficult, especially in the midst of trials and struggles, because in these stories, and in this particular story, Jesus does deliver. Jesus ultimately does answer the prayer, saves the day, and heals those that are sick or hurting. And you know, sometimes that just makes me want to cry out even more than, why not now? And why not this time? You know, we don't hear much about the times when the crowds brought people to Jesus for healing and he chose not to heal them and walked away. The Gospels don't expound on those stories. Time and time again, they give us the stories of Jesus where he does deliver. He does answer their cries. And that's hard for me, especially in the midst of being disappointed with God. And what it does is it leaves us in a place of ultimate trust. You know, Jesus came to Mary and Martha and to the people there, and he declared that he was the resurrection and the life. And in order to back up that claim and to prove that he was who he claimed to be, he then called Lazarus out of the grave to solidify and to validate and to verify who he claimed to be. And so many of the miracles and the healings given to us in the gospel accounts and in the early church, and even today in our present world, when they happen, do just that for us. They point us to the reality of a kingdom, a new kingdom on earth that is manifesting itself here and now and will one day be in here in all of its fullness. It points us forward. It backs up his claim that he truly is all who he claims to be. And it causes me to trust Jesus. Doesn't make it easy. Sometimes makes it harder. But to express trust to the one who came and wept and suffered and went to the cross on behalf of the world. And so while that part of the passage isn't necessarily easy for us today as we wrestle in our grief, it does give us assurance for all who would come, for all of us today, that those who die in Christ, death is not the final act, and the story is not over. In Jesus Christ, life wins. Death loses. God wins. Satan is destroyed. And all of the evil and brokenness in the world is destroyed alongside him. It's hard now, and it's hard in our grief. But I know that Jesus meets us in that place of our grief and sorrows with his tears. And I trust Jesus to meet us on the other side of our grief, on the other side of our loss, on the other side of our death, with his joy, with his laughter, as he embraces us and welcomes us into his loving arms. And for that reason, we can sing, we can praise, we can express our trust to a Jesus who loves us deeply. I just want to read a couple more verses. Verses 18 and 19, and then verse 31. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. In verse 31, the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, and they followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. And I just don't want to skip over the reality of the role of the community and how in multiple times in this passage, the community shows up. The community is there to grieve and to weep and console and to comfort. And so I just want to encourage this community in that. And especially as we prepare to go, after the blessing, I'm going to encourage you to share the peace of Christ with one another. And I just offer to you that maybe this morning's a morning where that can be extended even a little bit more further. that maybe you can stay and hug a few more people and console one another with the love of Christ. And so may the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you and especially bless you with peace. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be with you. Please greet one another as God sends us into the world.